much, Ron. You know, Rod does so much around here. Let's give him a hand for all that he does. It's just amazing. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Wasn't that great? I mean, we have like Kapena Ohana here. Wasn't that just so great? I've been so blessed. Let's give them a hand. They're just wonderful. And thank you for coming today. You know, in the middle of, it's so great for me to be back here. And it's so great to connect with people. But today in our message, we're in the middle of a series called Discovering the Hidden Gifts of Christmas. Do you know what that means? It means that God wants to give us these gifts. He really does, out of His generous heart. But sometimes they're hidden. In other words, we don't see them simply in front of us. We have to go and seek them out and find them out. Now today I have a story to tell you about the Christmas story that maybe hidden from you. Because it involves a character that you may not know too much about. It involves the character of a name of someone named King Herod. That's why the topic this morning is on Herod's hidden gift. Yes, even King Herod had a gift to give to us, but it was hidden. And that gift was the fact that his heart was unprepared. His unpreparedness. How many of you have ever been unprepared for something? Let's see your hands. Okay, the rest of you are lying. We have all come at some point in our lives where we are unprepared. Isn't that true? But somehow within this unprepared heart, this unpreparedness, there lies a gift. But it's a hidden gift. And so we're going to take a look at that. We're going to look at what it is that God has for us this Christmas season. You know, Herod was the kind of king that really should have known better. Because he was a builder. In fact, if you go to the Holy Land today, a lot of buildings are still up that he built himself. But there's one thing that he was unprepared for. Although he was a master builder that takes a lot of preparation, one thing he did not do was he did not prepare his own heart to receive Jesus Christ. And he then spent the rest of his time trying to deal with that. What if I told you this morning that there's a story in the Bible that talks about two international powers. And these two international powers used intrigue and espionage and secrecy and even murder to get what they wanted. And at the end of this story, you want to throw into that whole mix some dreams that talked about impending danger. And then to top it all off, it ends up with a family, with an infant, who is fleeing for their life as fugitives in a foreign country. Did you know that story is in the Bible? Yes, it is. It's the story of Herod and the wise men. And we're going to look at that story today, because the story today is about how God can help us to prepare our hearts. You know, it was Benjamin Franklin who said that if you fail to prepare, then you're preparing to fail. If you fail to prepare, then you're prepared to fail. Isn't that true? You know, God wants us to prepare our hearts. What a wonderful season this is, Christmas. But it's not just about the celebration. It's about God wanting you this morning to prepare your hearts for something new so that Christmas doesn't become mundane, so that when we celebrate Christmas this year, it's as if Christ has come into our hearts for the very first time. Now, I have a Christmas carol for you. It's there at the top of your notes. It's called Joy to the World. You know this carol. It's a great hymn. We had so many great songs for Christmas. But I want us to say this line, just this first line. In fact, you know what? You guys are great singers. I heard you back there. Let's sing this, okay? Can we? Okay, ready? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Pick it up. Flutter, louder, receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Give yourselves a hand. That was just So great. Wonderful. Okay, now let's sing Deck the Halls. Oh, sorry, I thought we were singing carols today. Let's get on with the message. Well, I'll tell you what, that was so great. The reason why I have it there at the top is that I wanted you to see that this carol has a truth in it. It says, let every heart prepare him room. What does that mean? It means to make room for Jesus in your hearts. So we can go around our Christmas season doing all kinds of things, but one of the things that God wants us to know is to have a prepared heart. So we can have our hearts prepared so that he can move in and totally be present in our hearts this morning. And so, are you preparing room in your hearts to receive Jesus this season? How are you making yourself ready? You know, Jeannie and I, about 20 years ago, had to literally prepare our home and room for the biggest surprise of our lives. You see, we had not had any children for 18 years. And so we had put our name in for adoption about 20 years ago. And we were unprepared. And the reason is because we thought we didn't have a chance. Our name was already in there for more than a year. We hadn't even finished the application form. We didn't have the home study and whatnot that you do to adopt a child. And then one day I got a phone call that says, Randy, I says, yes, this is your social worker. Are you prepared to receive an infant today? Say what? I said, what? He says, yes, we have an infant. She was just born. We'd like to know whether you and your wife are prepared to take her. Do you have room? I says, we don't have, yeah, we have room. And then I said, today? He says, you know, we'd like to know by the end of the day. True story. I want to know by the end of the day, because if not, we have alternatives what to do with her. Instead of 9 months, we had 9 hours, which seemed like 9 minutes. When I called with Jeannie, I called Jeannie with the news. She was already buying diapers at Costco in 9 seconds. You know that? Instant bonding that happens. Oh, there she is. Sorry. Wasn't it 9 seconds? And my wife is here. You can check this story out. Most of it is true. Anyway. and that's what happened. Unprepared. And so we had to like finish the application, finish the home study and all of that. And she came into our room and now she has some room in her room and in house. She's 20 years old. I'll, you know, leave it at that. But that's what happens. See, we are unprepared. But within our unpreparedness, there's a gift, isn't there? There's a gift there. We can learn from it. And God wants us to learn from this incredible story in the Bible about the wise men and Herod and what happens here. Now, before we go on, I want to tell you just really quickly 3 consequences of being unprepared, just so that you know. Now, I'm probably not going to tell you anything different because, as we said, all of us have been sort of, I think, unprepared for something in our lives. So if you will, write this in. The first consequence of being unprepared, fear. Yeah, fear. You see, fear is really kicks in when we don't know what to expect. Isn't that true? When we fear the unknown. When we don't know what's going to happen, that's when fear kicks in. We don't know what it is, and so we get afraid. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 2. But if not, follow your notes here as I read this. Here's the story. This is how it begins. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, what do you think Herod feared? I think the obvious thing is that he feared that these guys were going to take over his position and power and place and authority. Because remember, they said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? I mean, Herod says, wait, time out. I am the king. Right? I am the king of the Jews. What do you mean there's a new king? So he was already threatened by that. His heart didn't really prepare. He didn't know there was Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world. The wise men knew that. But they find that out later. And so here's Herod threatened. And he's fearful because he doesn't know what's going to happen. He's looking after himself. It's a threat to him. And let's not forget the Magi themselves. They're called the wise men who came from this area called Persia. Now, the Persian dynasty or the people that are in charge there rival the Roman Empire. So now you have this international powers kind of fighting against each other. In fact, the Persian army had the strongest army, and some say the stronger army than over the Romans, because they used to win battles with the Roman legions. Now, in between these two huge powers, you have this tiny little country called Judea. And here's King Herod saying, this is my land, and I'm the king here. Don't you dare come over. Knowing that these were people that came over to tell him that, you know what, there's a new king. And I want you to tell us where he is. Now, don't be upset with me, but I'm going to tell you the truth about the wise men. There weren't three guys on a camel with big opus carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were actually powerful people. They were actually not only soldiers, but they were very high in their political office. These are very important people. They're called the Magi. How do we know this? Because there was one Magi that was already named in the Bible, and his name was Daniel. Remember Daniel? He rose up to become the Secretary of State of the Persian Empire. And he interpreted dreams. And you can read about Daniel in the Bible. But he was a Magi. He studied well. He was powerful politically and religiously and spiritually. And here's the other thing. Don't get upset, but we don't know whether there were three wise men or not. We know there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the Bible never says how many wise men there were. Now, if you're traveling with gold and frankincense and myrrh over hundreds of miles, and you represent one of the greatest empires of the world, and you are in a position of authority, you are not going to be traveling alone. In fact, the mode of transportation there were horses. They probably went on horses. Camels in those days were used just to hold the supplies. It could have been five wise men, 20, 30, 50, 100 wise men there. Can you imagine this entire entourage now coming into Bethlehem with their horses, with their camels, with their supplies and their gifts, knocking on little Herod's door and saying, where is the king of the Jews? You think Herod would have been afraid it was just three guys on a camel? I don't think so. You see how scripture can come alive? Well, we don't know exactly. Who knows? But we do know that there were wise men who came, and Herod did not receive them very well. Certainly their message didn't receive them well. Because what happened was that he got afraid. And not only that, if you read the last part, not only he got afraid, but what did it say? All of Jerusalem was afraid. Do you know how hard it is to evoke fear in an entire city? It says all of Jerusalem, not some of Jerusalem or most of Jerusalem. All of Jerusalem was afraid. You see, as the leader goes, so do the people. Isn't this true? So he had a fearful heart. And after fear, what else? Here's the second consequence. Write this in. The second consequence of being unprepared is insecurity. Now, this follows from fear, doesn't it? It's an insecure heart that Herod has. When you're not prepared, you're insecure. You're not prepared, students of Pac Rim. You're not prepared to take an exam. You are what? Yes, insecure. If you're not prepared for a job interview, you are insecure. You're not prepared for you, those of you in business, for a presentation, a project proposal, or a report to those above you, your direct reports, you are what? Insecure. And that's what happens. We've all gone through this. That's why I love Herod. I love Herod because he's such a real and what I call a raw person. He's just, you take him for what he's at. But what you do is you glean some gifts from him so that you can apply it to your life. So Herod had an insecure heart. How do we know he's insecure? Well, look at the verse here. It says, and assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. You see, so he assembled. He gathered basically his peeps together. And he wanted to find out the secret meaning. He wanted to find out like where and when and how and all of this because he was afraid. He was insecure. And why did he want to know where the child was born? So that he could give him gifts? No. So that he could kill them. So that he could murder them. This is a very intriguing story. Part of me is very surprised that it's in the Bible. Because it's about espionage, secrecy, power struggles. It's about secrecy and murder and killing and jealousy. Oh my God, it's about life. That's what the Bible is. That's why you have to read it. You know, it's not, I'm sorry, today is not really an away in the manger, silent night, holy night story. It's about something real, isn't it? And that's what it is. So he was really insecure. He wanted to win and where this child was born. And so he summons the wise men secretly. He wants to know what it is. So he's got his whole thing set up. And then he has at the end saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. You think he meant that? Of course not. It was sarcastic. It was deceiving. And the third consequence is dishonesty. He was dishonest. Write that in, if you will. It was dishonesty. That's a consequence of fear and insecurity and of being unprepared. Well, you might say, well, he wanted to worship Jesus too. No, you can't. You've got to read the scripture. He was disingenuous. In other words, he was not being genuine. He was not being authentic. He was not really, he was deceiving himself. He was deceiving the wise men, and he was deceiving himself because he knew he didn't want to worship Christ. He knew that. How many of you have ever, you don't need to raise your hands on this. How many of you have ever uttered a dishonest statement? I mean, I have. But why do we do it? What is it? And you can say, well, it's sin and we're not perfect. Yes, but why? Because it's rooted in something called fear and insecurity, being unprepared, and our hearts not being ready. Look at the roots of why we lie, why we're dishonest. Basically, it's because we're afraid. We're afraid that the truth is going to come out. So we're not honest with ourselves. And we're not honest with God. Again, Herod teaches us a lot already, hasn't he? He has a hidden gift, but his heart was unprepared. And because of that, we can learn from this. And so what I have down here is at the bottom there. I have three questions. These are reflection questions for you. And why I put them down is for two reasons. The first reason is that I want you to take what is said today and what you've learned in your notes, and I want you to think about it all week. And use this as sort of a reflection paper, sort of a study thought. Just think about it, basically. And I have these questions because we can't cover everything we have this morning. But I thought that if you took this away, you might share it and do it with yourself. But also the second reason is that find two or three or four other people and talk about these questions together. Because in that, I think you can really support each other through this time. The first question is, were you ever unprepared for something significant? And what was it? I think, of course, we have. What is it that God wants you to prepare for? Were you ever unprepared? And then what were the consequences? I listed three there: fear, insecurity, and others there, but it could be others. And then the third question is, what would you do better to prepare yourself. What would you do better to prepare yourself? You know, I feel like right now, I know the message isn't over yet, but I just want to say, could I just say a short prayer for you right now as you take home these questions and really check your heart out and see what God has for you. Could I just say a prayer for you right now? Father, I just pray that you prepare our hearts well. I just pray, Father, that as we go through these questions and the principles, that you really help us to learn from the consequences of being unprepared. Prepare our hearts well. We pray that we would have a heart, Lord, that would make room for you. That just as we sung and we affirmed this Christmas, Father, the last thing we want to do is have no room for you. We want to open up our hearts so that you can speak to us and be with us as we prepare our hearts well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I had asked myself that third question about what you do best to prepare. It's kind of been in my life for many years. And if I could just share something just out of my heart about my own life and what I'm doing now. You know, I grew up here in Hawaii, and I really had a heart for equipping men and women for Christian ministry. Not just to be pastors, but to be effective people in the marketplace as well, so they could be Christians where they work, which is for really most of us, both for in the ministry and in the marketplace. So when I went to college and I graduated from here at University of Hawaii, I wanted to go to a Christian college out of high school, but there wasn't any here in Hawaii at that time. And then after I graduated from college, I wanted to go to graduate school, a Christian graduate school, a seminary, somewhere I could study, but there wasn't any here. And I've always believed that Hawaii really deserved such a college. So my wife and I left and for the mainland, and I had to complete my study there for 7 years. But deep in my heart, I always thought about Hawaii, and I always thought that Hawaii, of all the states, Hawaii deserved a great Christian college that could serve all Christian churches here in Hawaii. Would you agree? And that's when I came here to New Hope, Pastor Wayne and I talked about starting something here. Pastor Wayne had started at that time, back in 1996, what we call a school for church planters. Many of the graduates of the schools have already planted churches, many churches, and are training second and third generation leaders out of that little school. And out of that school came an institute, and out of the institute came a college, the college that we know today as Pacific Rim Christian College. And it's just an amazing way in which God is continuing to answer, because now the vision is not just for Hawaii, but the 44 nations that surround the Pacific Rim. That's why we are called Pacific Rim Christian College. And I'm pleased to announce to you that God continues to challenge us and bless us, because just this past week, I've been informed that Pac Rim has been invited to be one of 8 schools out of the more than 100 schools in our accreditation body to help shape a new mandate, a new mission, and a new direction for biblical higher education in North America. Isn't that something? So it's not just about being a college. Next spring, we are actually going to influence biblical higher education in North America for decades ahead. Now, that's an awesome challenge, but it's also a humbling challenge. It's an awesome and astounding responsibility that we have. But I just want to thank you, each one of you, because I know out there the individuals and companies and groups of people that have supported Pac Rim. I mean, you just look at all of the people that were here on our worship team. It's just been absolutely amazing what God is doing and how God is blessing us. In fact, just this past year, we have formed partnerships with some of the best schools and organizations in Hawaii, with Kamehameha Schools, with McMaster Divinity School in Canada, with Fuller Theological Seminary, with North Park Theological Seminary, and in Worship and the Arts with Tommy Walker, and Song Discovery, and recently with Worship Leader Magazine. and last year with the Nahoku Music Festival. In fact, this week we just launched a new website, voyagermusic.org, that talks about how music can transform our lives. And you see it right here. God is doing something really special this season. And it's not just because it's Christmas, because God wants us to know whether we want to step up and prepare our hearts well so that this entire state and the nations surrounding the Pacific Rim can receive Him and make room in their hearts for Him. Will you join me in that? That's just a wonderful aspect of what it is that God wants to do. You know, it was Mordecai who said to Queen Esther, Queen Esther was in this position, high position, and she was challenged to speak out for her people. And Mordecai said, "Esther, could it be that you are placed in this place, at this, in your particular position, for such a time as this? For such a time as this." And this is the time that God is asking us. We can't wait anymore. Time is getting too short. For such a time as this, what time is it for you? Are you waiting, or have you identified today as the time? God is looking for hearts that are prepared to move into the future, not with fear, but with confidence, not with insecurity, but with faith, not with dishonesty, but with truth. And we can only do that when our hearts are prepared. The good news is that we can move beyond the fears and insecurities and dishonesties and other things that are consequences of our unpreparedness. Well, what are they? Turn your notes over, and I have for you three secrets from the wise men to avoid being unprepared. Yes? Someone asked, yes, I did get these secrets from the wise men themselves. They're friends of mine. Yes, I am that old. Respect your elders. Well, they couldn't be here today, so I'm here to tell you. You know, these three secrets will represent sort of the three gifts of the wise men, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And yeah, by the way, you know, it's wise men, it wasn't wise women. Oh, sorry. No, I'm not going to go there. Because if it were women, they would have brought more practical gifts. Yeah. They would have brought a blanket, a casserole, and disposable diapers. And they would have asked for directions, too. Yeah, they would have. Why are we following that star for so long, Melchior? Why don't we ask for directions? Oh, no, men don't ask for directions. We're just going to... You know, I don't know where that came from. Must be the medication I'm taking. But here are three secrets from the wise men. Number one, if you could write this in, cultivate a disciplined heart. A disciplined heart. See, it says here that the wise men came from the East. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about the East. This is a place where they went to school. This was like where they learned things. And they learned how to look at the stars and the skies and the heavens. We can call them astronomers or whatever. But they studied it, and they linked that with the prophecies. And this isn't something new. In fact, there was a person that was named the Rabbi of the Magi. In other words, the head Magi. And his name is very familiar to you. His name was Daniel. And Daniel, in the book of Daniel, became such a powerful person. He could interpret dreams, but he also studied really well. You see, you can convince a mind, but you have to cultivate a heart. You can change your mind overnight, but you can't change your heart. You've got to cultivate it. God wants to raise up people that whose hearts can be cultivated, so that like that soil that's made loose so that he could plant something in. It's going to take some time. It took the wise men years to study so that they could identify that particular star at that particular place and at that particular time. You have to prepare your heart. So the secret to a prepared heart is to have a disciplined heart, to have that kind of discipline in which you do things because that's what you know that is needed. Discipline sometimes is remembering what you want. Isn't that true? Discipline is remembering what you want. Because if you remember what you want, then you are able to stay on that goal. But when you forget what it is, you forget your focus, you forget your goal, you forget what it is you want to end up with, is when you start veering. Is this true? So you start going anyplace else. Let's say you're driving a car and you want to reach a certain destination. You know where you're going, so now you're focused on it. If you forget where you're going, then anywhere you go would be right for you. And you're going all over the place. Discipline is remembering what you want. But actually, it's more than that for us who are Christians. Discipline is wanting God's best for you. Because God has something best for you. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants for you. And so you have your heart in God's heart. And the more you grow in your intimacy and your relationship with God, what God wants becomes part of what your heart wants and what your heart desires. And that's the way. So we live in this gap. And God wants us to close that gap out because He wants His heart to be in your heart. Now, you can't do that if your heart is full of other things, of other distractions, temptations, other things that you are possessing or want to possess, or other things that you want and think you need. And God is saying, I want my best for you. I want my heart to be your heart. But it takes a disciplined heart. Does that make sense? So I want all of you this Christmas and this season to think about that, to be able to say to yourself, God, what is it? I want to cultivate a disciplined heart, Father, in my mind and in my heart. And then the second secret for the wise men is to explore your sources of knowledge. Yeah, sources of knowledge. Let me just say one thing about this. Sources of knowledge, it doesn't mean just going to the library and reading a book. You think that. Look around you, just in this auditorium and outside. There are so many of you who are wonderful sources of knowledge and wisdom because of your experience and your expertise and your judgment and discernment. And to explore the sources of knowledge, you've got to get to know one another. You've got to connect with one another. Maybe some of us need a mentor or a coach or an elder. We have a particular culture in a way that honors the elderly because the kupuna in our culture and society are the ones that we attribute and honor because they have the wisdom that we don't have yet. And we can apply that here to our church and to the Christian church in general, because God wants us not to be solo people. We depend on each other. We need to ask each other what the sources of knowledge are. And you would probably be astounded if we took a poll right now and to see the amount of knowledge and wisdom that's in this auditorium. But what good is it if it just stays in your seat? God wants you to share it, to mentor other people, to lead small groups, to be involved in ministry, to engage in what it in influence men and women that will make a difference into the world. And God wants us to really look at that as our source of knowledge. And one of the ways in which we think, what can I do? Well, here's what you can attend one of the Pack Room. Did you know that you can walk in and attend any of our Pack Room classes and check it out for a few sessions, see whether you like it? And if you like it, then you can sign up for it and enroll in it, and you don't have to do homework. Yeah, that's true. It's called auditing. You just sign up and just, you know, take a course, and you don't have to do the homework. Now, if you want to get credit for it, then you do the homework, but you don't need to. We have our new slate of courses that are coming up in January. I would encourage you to do that. And that's one way to do that. Increase your knowledge and wisdom, because it lays the foundation for preparing your heart. This is what we tell our Pack Room students. Not so much tell them, but we actually live it out. That's why it's such a privilege for me to, along with President Guy Higashi and Lori Higashi and Alex Michelle and Jim Kaler and others that are part of our Pack Room leadership team, that we walk along with 38 other faculty members. That's how large our faculty is now. And what we want to do is bring them into a future that God has for them by teaching and investing our lives in them. So cultivate a disciplined heart after the Lord. And then what happens there is once you get that heart, then you have to sustain it. So you have to tap into this resource of knowledge. And then thirdly, and I'll close with this, the third point, third secret this morning, invest in the things that matter. Invest in the things that matter to God, because you can spend your time and you can spend... Okay. The Lord says... Is that echo just with me? Okay. We'll get help right now. Okay, it's just me now. Oh, no, it's still the Lord speaking in an echo. Okay. Well, we're bringing this to a close. Invest in the things that matter. I have three reflection questions for you at the end. What in your heart is under training? What sources of knowledge do you need to access? And what are you primarily investing your time? I want you to know that this is a special time, a time where we can be prepared, a time where we make room in our hearts for the Lord. Let's all pray together. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for bringing us here today to hear an amazing word from you. An amazing word that will challenge us and help us to understand what it means to have a prepared heart for you. Help us this day, Father, to be able to come to those places in our lives in which we know, Father, that we are unprepared most of the time. And we get afraid. Or we are insecure. Or we are dishonest. And we deceive ourselves and you. And Father, forgive us for those times. But Father, bring us to those times in our lives and prepare our hearts so that we are prepared. Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to cultivate a new work in our hearts. We want this Christmas, Father, to not be mundane, but to be something special, that you will come into our hearts and plant in our hearts a new and deeper way to grow closer to you, so that we can show grace and love to others that maybe we haven't ever shown before, that you would bring people together in ways that go beyond our imagination. And to not only cultivate our heart, but Father, give us the wisdom to really explore the sources of knowledge and wisdom that are around us. Help us to really have a heart of learning, a humility about us, that we don't know everything, that there are those around us who can be part of us, that can fulfill your will and your desire for our lives. And Father, we ask that you help us to invest in the things that matter to your heart. Not the things that we just want, but the things that matter to you, Lord. Because that's what our yearning is, that as we move through this season, Father, prepare our hearts so that we see others differently, so that we see those around us differently, that we take the heart of Jesus Christ to wherever we are. And we ask for that strength, Father, to live as people prepared to move anywhere you ask us to make decisions with confidence, to be true to you. Thank you for the strength that you bring us each day. Thank you for the joy of Christmas, the joy of welcoming Jesus Christ into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church said, amen. Let's give God the glory.
While we've received the word of the Lord through our brother, pastor, teacher, doctor, let's pray for him Pastor Guy as well, President, include the faculty. What do you say? Just pray, and we give of our support through love and prayer. Would you stretch your hands this way? Lord, we thank you, and we receive the gift of your word this morning. But we also receive the gift of instruction through Pacific Rim Christian College and what you are doing to transform students, Lord, from younger to the older generations. Lord, help us to all be students of your word, but we thank you for such a ministry that you've birthed, that you're developing, that you're using to transform this island and the world. Lord, we pray for Randy and for Guy. We thank you for their leadership along with all of the faculty and the staff. Would you bless their families? Would you bless them with unity? Lord, we pray for wisdom and discernment days to come. We thank you for the students and bless them these finals week. Lord, we ask you to multiply students for the sake of reaching the world for you, God. Not just pastors and missionaries, but business leaders. Help us, equip us in your word. And we just pray, God, as you use this college, Lord, that you would transform lives through every one of us, Lord. So thank you for their ministry, and we thank you so much for their dedication and devotion to you and to their calling. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. Amen. Thank you. We love you. All right. Well, let's all stand this morning. What a great word, great service. And as we close this time, I want to just say, those of you maybe outside or inside, if you're visiting for the first time, or you've come and you've been to this church before, maybe even other churches, but you've never asked the Lord to come and live inside of you, all you have to do right now in your heart is say, Jesus, just right now in your heart, Jesus, I'm in need of you, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come and live inside of me. I need you to change my heart and my life. And if that's you, if you believe in who he is, that God sent his only son, you don't understand it all like we don't understand it all. But if you say in your heart, yes, I choose to believe even now, Jesus, come and live inside of me, change me, forgive me, then you are his child.